from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's May the 1st, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, the Farm Bill is on hold again, this time with some changes in the works. And it appears the state of Illinois is paying up for the fiscal 08 extension and soil and water conservation district budgets. We'll have details of these stories shortly. And then, closer to the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby May contract in the wheat pit at $7.76 and a half, 10 and three quarter cents lower. July at $7.90, down 11 cents. And December futures at $8.23, 11 and a half cents lower. May corn futures at $6.05 and a half, 5 and a quarter higher. July at $6.17 and a quarter, up 5 cents. And September a nickel higher at $6.26 and three quarters. December corn futures, new crop at $6.31 and a half, 3 1/4 cents higher. May soybean futures at 12.58 and 3/4 down 43 cents. July at 12.71 down 43. And the August futures were 43 cents lower as well. $12.60 the settlement price there. November contract at $11.93 1/4. New crop soybeans down 32 1/4 today. May bean meal futures at $3.23.40 down $13.20. July at $3.29.50 down $12.70. May soybean oil futures 55.76, $1.91 lower. July futures at $56.35, down $1.98. And from the CME Group's Mercantile Exchange side, nearby June live cattle settled the day $91.45 a hundredweight, down $2.02 1/2. August contract at $97.50, down $1.47 1/2. And the feeder cattle finished the May contract at $104.95, $1.02 1/2 lower for the day. May lean hogs at $72.55, down $1.20. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Taking a look at the outside markets for the afternoon, nearby June crude oil futures at $112.50 a barrel, now trading 96 cents lower for the day. July futures at $110.15, down $2.58. The May ethanol at $2.49 even, down 1 1/4 cents. And June futures at $2.43 8 cents. Down 2 cents for the day. Natural gas trading the June contract at $10.57 and 9 tenths, down 26 and 4 tenths, and the July futures there at $10.72, down 25 and 9 tenths of a cent. Propane trading the June contract at $1.60. These are settlements from earlier in the week, down 2 cents for the day. July at $1.60 1/2, down 2 cents as well. The U.S. dollar is now trading at 73.30. That's up 0.79 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,008, 187 points higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the two-state region from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight, skies should be partly to mostly cloudy. A few showers and thunderstorms. They'll be most numerous in northern and central Illinois. Lows will range from 55 in northern Illinois to 65 in the far south. And tomorrow, skies will be cloudy, some showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs will range from near 70 in northwestern Illinois to 78 in the southeastern part of Indiana. Tomorrow, the minimum relative humidity levels between 50% in all the areas. Highest relative humidity levels will be 60 to 70%. The extended forecast calls for scattered showers to persist into the weekend, causing field work to stall again. Some river areas will be in flood stage, especially between the Illinois and the Mississippi rivers.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, farmers probably worried a bit, I suppose, about the drop in the bean market today. What do you see there?
Well, beans have, you know, got pressure, I think, coming from several fronts. Number one, we are having problems, you know, getting the crop planted as far as the corn crop goes. We all know that we're going to get the first 82 or first 83 million planted, or at least the odds favor that, but we don't know, you know, whether we'll get that last 3 million or that last 4 million or 2 million more, and I think that's what the market's going to worry about, especially when it looks at the weather maps and, you know, the increased chances that we may not, you know, plant what USDA suggested we were going to plant back on the March report is added over to the soybean column. And there we go. So beans kind of come under pressure from that. Also, probably the biggest factor, at least in short term, that's been swinging the bean market has been this on-again, off-again farmer strike or potential farmer strike out of Argentina. I mean, one of the main reasons we were up yesterday is it looked like there was going to be a strike, and now overnight it kind of felt like there wasn't going to be a strike, or at least one's been postponed maybe for a week or so. So when you combine the ideas that maybe we may get a big flush supply of South American inventory into the world channels, and you combine that with a few million extra bean acres, you kind of got a bearish scenario here.
How do you read the charts on the beans at this time?
Well, I think everything was in pretty good shape until today. Basically, we were trying to make a stand, and we, with yesterday's rally, it looked like the 50% retracement level of the advance that we saw here during April, that 50% retracement level was going to hold. And now with the market having rallied yesterday and then turned around and broke hard underneath that 50% level, one has to start, you know, at least raising yellow flags or red flags that maybe this bean market is going to try to go lower here over the next several weeks, and that kind of indicates that we're going to have continued problems here with corn planting.
Do you see in the bean market a head and shoulders top potentially being put in?
Well, there's a big, larger one there that the traders have been looking at. I mean, yes, you can read that. I think you could maybe almost flip-flop that and say we might be making a head and shoulders bottom right now, and this is where we're struggling around trying to make the right shoulder. So, you know, you can read a head and shoulders big top in it, and then you can also maybe read a head and shoulders bottom in the intermediate chart. So
let's be positive.
Is which one's going to win out.
Let's be positive and say it's a bottom. So you've got a number down there, what, around 1050 or something like that in the new crop harvest month, I think. Where do you go from to the top side if that's the case?
Well, I think what it would say is that you would have a strong challenge of the early March high. If you could make beans stand, you know, make a stand in here, try to bust above this 2-week downtrend, 3-week downtrend that we've had on November beans, which kind of says we're going to have to find a way to kind of get above 1250. If we start clearing 1250, then I suppose you could begin to argue that we may have a run at least up toward the highs. We'll have to take one day at a time. But the thing that beans, you know, they had that big, massive outside down reversal during the month of March. Now we finished up April with kind of a hook reversal to the upside. And now we're probably inside that hook reversal. So when you look at monthly charts, you know, I still think that major outside down reversal that we posted during March, and that also is kind of like a quarterly reversal, is something to contend with, at least in the short run. And I think you can kind of look at the weather pattern, you can kind of look at the fundamentals, and you can see that beans are probably have the most problems, at least in the near term. But longer term, I don't necessarily would believe that. I think the supply-demand balance is going to be awful snug on beans at some point in time down the road, and beans will come back.
Beans, of course, under pressure from the weather because the corn planters haven't rolled quickly, at least, across the Midwest, though I suppose there's a number of them headed out this afternoon. Will corn futures continue to rally on ideas that there'll be rainfall again next week?
Well, that, you know, we're in the weather market. Ideas was today. Tomorrow the forecast could change and the ideas could switch to drier type weather. My cyclical work would indicate that we are entering a time zone in here that you'd have to be a little careful. I've been kind of watching this first half of May for a potential high of some kind here, at least a planting time high, and then we could have a setback sometime as we go on into June. And, of course, that will depend upon, you know, how planting goes. So I guess I'm kind of in the camp that you got to be a little careful here, but we do need to kind of swing this thing into new highs. You know, we punched into new highs and then we sold off. So we're still in kind of a consolidation, or I look at the December corn chart as a broadening wedge-type formation that could still go either way. We could break to the upside, and then that would give you a quick run up into the $6.77 range. If you broke to the downside, we could quickly go down into the 540 area. So that's something that I'm kind of watching on the December corn chart.
Are you a seller of either old crop corn or soybeans and or new crop corn and soybeans?
Modest seller. It just looks to me like when you size up the supply-demand balance sheets and the demand for renewable fuels, you don't really want to be too short of this corn market.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
That's about all I have.
All right. Thanks much, Dan. Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report that happens each and every Thursday afternoon. By the way, be sure to visit our website when you get in from the field late this evening and you're checking your email. Check out WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. There you can listen to this program and other agricultural programming as MP3 files. Sign up to have it delivered to your computer directly as a podcast, and you can take it to the field with you if you'd like on your iPod or other MP3 player. If you don't know how to do that, just give us a call at 333-9697. That's my direct line, 333-9697. I'll talk you through it. It's 217 area code. Just a couple moments, we'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news for the afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
A couple of ag news stories to pass along for the day. The first concerns the farm bill. Point one there is that it is on hold again, and that another extension is soon to be on the horizon. Point two comes out of the closed-door meetings held earlier this week. There are a couple of important changes to the legislation. The first is that the AGI, the Aggregated Gross Income Rules, would also apply to conservation payments in the new farm bill. And the second is that the president's demand to reform the beneficial interest of grain used to secure marketing loans has been addressed. It appears instead of the price being determined on a one-day sale, it would have to be on a 30-day rolling average to prevent farmers from being able to make windfall profits, as happened during the market disruptions caused by Hurricane Katrina. The other news story for the day concerns University of Illinois Extension and the State Soil and Water Conservation District's Time will tell, but it appears the governor has released the fiscal year 08 funds. And finally, because you're working hard and you're probably not getting enough sleep or won't be over the next month, during this program I urge you to do something, and it'll make me happy, despite the fact that you may not hear what I have to say. When you get to the end of the row, just put the tractor in neutral. Take a 15 to 20 minute nap. I'd rather have you with us the rest of the season than to find out that you were in the hospital because you were tired and, well, something went wrong as you're out there in the field. Stay safe and get that corn planted. Now up next, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the CFTC, is concerned about three issues related to agricultural commodities. The government agency convened a discussion in late April, and now that some time has passed, we'll talk just a bit about how it appeared to proceed. CFTC organized a roundtable to discuss three agriculturally related topics in April: price discovery, convergence, and credit. Gene Kunda with the Office of Futures and Options Research at the University of Illinois was there and has this explanation of the three issues.
It's quite an interesting time with the prices at the levels they are, not experienced in some cases in decades. The issue on price discovery with the involvement now of with electronic trading and the introduction of commodity futures funds. Index funds being involved in the market in the last couple of years to a greater extent than they ever have been in the past. That volatility in markets has certainly been quite high, as well as the high prices. So there was a discussion that focused on whether or not the market was discovering prices efficiently. And in that discussion, we talked about the transparency in the markets, and one of the things that the CFTC recently has done is to issue a new commitment of traders report that has segregated those index and fund traders to identify their participation.
You can think of the index funds like a mutual fund, but targeted specifically to agricultural commodities. Now, these funds wield immense wealth, and some feel have exerted undue influence on the price of commodities like wheat, corn, and soybean. At the end of the day, Kunda says most in the Washington, D.C. CFTC room concluded the markets, well, they were working.
The consensus was that the futures market was certainly handling all that's being called upon to do in terms of price discovery.
Price discovery was issue one for the day. Gene Kunda was there to take up issue two, convergence.
The university made a statement supported by the research by Dr. Scott Irwin, Daryl Good, and Phil Garcia to look at the convergence. And convergence is the relationship between the cash markets and the futures markets through time and at the delivery location during the delivery period. And so looking at the evidence in the past that cash price and futures price are much closer than what is being experienced more recently.
Kunda says there have been discussions on how to solve the convergence issue. These range from increasing storage charges in the futures contract to developing a cash-settled index to restraining the spec limits of index funds to expanding the ability of the holders of grain to deliver it and even to developing a new basis swap contract to solve the problem.
Which really gets into the third topic regarding the availability of credit to make margin calls. And while again at these high levels with the need to make a margin call when prices are going up if you're short hedged is creating a lot of pressure on the lines of credit that banks have extended to merchandisers primarily for their forward contracting.
Kunda says the government regulatory agency is taking the three issues seriously. CFTC will take comments from producers on each and are particularly interested, says Kunda, in hearing how farmers might be more fully involved in the delivery process. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon. We're joined now to take a look at the cash grain market by Bill Mayer. He's of Rochag Marketing and located in Lexington, Illinois, at the elevator. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Is it dry enough around your area for the planters to roll?
Yeah, they're rolling pretty good here this afternoon. Still not just where you can go anywhere, but, you know, the drier fields are able to get out, and everybody's being a little bit cautious because we're supposed to get the rain coming in tomorrow. So,
how far along do you think they are? I talked to a producer this morning. It was maybe 25% along. I suppose that's ahead of the average.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's hard to peg. I mean, I've got guys from just starting to almost done. I talked to a customer this morning in this area that had about 60 acres left to finish. So it really varies. I'd say if you're looking at an average, In this area, it's probably 30% or 35%, something like that, maybe.
The weather and the U.S. dollar having a pretty good impact on the soybean market today?
Yeah, sure is. And I think part of that is I was doing some work here this morning and looking at, on a cash basis, the new crop prices. We've changed the gross per acre this week by about $70 an acre here. So, I mean, I think the market is doing its job trying to get more corn acres. We just need to the weather to cooperate here.
Yeah, I wondered about that, whether we were trying to promote acres in the corn and for those farmers to just keep planting, despite the fact that it was getting later into the month, or actually we're starting the month of May, but later into the planting season, I suppose. How much upside or spread difference do you think there might be left in that market?
Well, I think it could continue to go some if we, you know, can't get in the field and get planted. But, you know, after we get 2 weeks down the road, we've probably seen the maximum. I mean, right now there's, like I say, it's, you know, pretty good difference between the two of them. You're looking at some big dollars from a farmer standpoint that has 1,000 acres of corn, for example.
Is that very much, you think, across the Midwest? If from the Corn Belt from one side to the other, are there places that you think that the spread between the cash prices isn't quite as great?
Yeah, that may be true, but I think it's pretty widespread. I think, you know, it varies depending on yield. I was trying to be conservative. I was using 160 average on corn and 50 on beans on yield. So that'll vary some from place to place. But it looks to me like the cash, the ratio there is fairly constant, at least, you know, in the Corn Belt area.
You know, farmers will be busy in the field. They won't be paying too much attention to marketing their grain. Do they need to at this point?
Well, it depends on where you're at, of course. I think that, you know, if you don't feel like you've got enough corn sold here, there's nothing wrong with coming in, making sales on new all-time highs. I mean, that's where we're at. Soybeans, I guess I'm trying to kind of be patient and hold off a little bit. I guess I tend to agree with what Dan was saying earlier that I think we'll have some better opportunities as we go through the summer.
Bill, thanks much.
Thank you.
Bill Mayer with Rochag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. Pete Levitt will join us from his office in Massachusetts this afternoon. We'll be back in just a bit. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's May Day. The holiday has ancient origins dating back to pre-Christian Europe. But May Day may be best known for its tradition of dancing around the Maypole. By the way, the early American colony of Marymount, founded by Thomas Morton, outraged its Puritan neighbors by setting up a maypole and drinking and dancing around it for several days at a time. On this day in agricultural history in 1839, Hilary Chardonnet was born. A French chemist and industrialist, Chardonnet was responsible for the development of rayon, which was first displayed at the Paris Exposition of 1891. The new material caused a sensation, and eventually he opened factories for manufacturing rayon out of mulberry leaves. In 1924, the first iodine table salt went on sale in the U.S. at groceries in Michigan. Diamond Crystal Salt and four other Michigan table salt companies agreed to add the trace of iodine to reduce incidences of goiter. Later in the year, Morton Salt supplied the national market with iodinated salt. And in 1991, Charles Elton died. Elton was an English biologist who in 1927 first developed the idea of a food chain. Elton described the way plants get energy from sunlight, plant-eating animals get their energy from eating plants, and meat-eating animals get their energy from eating other animals. Elton created the Bureau of Animal Population at Oxford, England, which was a mecca for ecologists from around the world. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Peter Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather in the Midwest. Is it going to rain?
Oh, yes, it's going to rain. And actually, the pattern we're in looks like we're stuck in it for quite a while. It's not going to rain every day, but it's going to rain often enough to make field work pretty dicey from day to day. We've got a storm system currently over northeastern Nebraska. Low-pressure center there is moving slowly northeastward up through Minnesota. A cold front will be dragging its way across Iowa and today and tonight, and then through Illinois tomorrow. So today, we're probably the best day of the entire week right now, as we get temperatures up in the mid-70s across most of Illinois right now. And the cold front approaches. We'll see some showers down south, a few more up in the northwest this evening and tonight. Then the front gets close enough to generate some pretty good showers across Illinois tomorrow and tomorrow night especially. Look for some showers, thunderstorms moving eastward across the state on Friday evening and night, and some severe local storms are likely, and we'll probably be hearing about severe storms and maybe a few tornadoes in downstate Illinois by late tomorrow, early Saturday. The rain continues on Saturday, and then finally ends from west to east on Sunday as it turns much colder again. This, as I say, is the warmest day of the week, and then it'll be below normal right through the middle of the week. So Monday we get a good day, maybe Tuesday it starts to cloud again. Tuesday night, more showers coming from the west. Wednesday looks like a showery day. So that's the picture. It's not a very pretty picture.
This would be the model that came out yesterday afternoon that finally verified. Is that right?
Yeah, it looks like that's working out, and the morning run today has weather just like this.
Oh, man, so producers will be out of the field. There will be enough rainfall to keep them out of the field?
I think so. What happens in planting time is that the fields that are slowest to dry are the ones which never get dry enough to get back in them again. As you get into heavier soils, especially in northern parts of the western Corn Belt, it rains in there, and it just doesn't dry out the way it does in the well-drained fields. So the well-drained fields get planted first, and then the late fields just get even later. So we're just not going to get this corn crop in the ground very quickly this season.
Hopefully producers use some of that extra money from last fall to put tile in their best fields.
Okay, and the tiles are running.
Yeah, they're running. Yeah. So if you look around the rest of the planet, what do you see?
Well, the rest of the planet, the cold pattern, and it's going to be a cold month, I think, that this May across much of the northern hemisphere agricultural world. It's cold in Europe and wet, and they're starting to get a little bit anxious about how cool and wet it's been. Okay, in the Far East, and in Brazil, it's raining again, so we have some problems down there with the late portion of the harvest.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time today.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Thursday. Be sure to visit our website if you've got the opportunity. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. On the right-hand side, hit subscribe. We'll send you a weekend marketing newsletter. That one's free. And please be safe out there. I know you're in a hurry and probably worried. We're worried about you, too. I'm Todd Gleason.